Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at some, primarily at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at some verses out of Matthew chapter 2. And also we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 2. And I want to talk to you this morning about a godly father. A godly father from Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 2. Now, today is Father's Day. A day set aside by the greeting card companies, well, actually not, a day set aside to honor and thank our fathers for their influence in our lives. Father's Day was first observed in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. The holiday slowly spread across the country and various states adopted it as a state holiday. But do you realize it wasn't until 1972 that President Richard Nixon signed a proclamation making Father's Day a national holiday. So on Father's Day, we often think about the attributes that make up a good father. If you had a good father, you think about the things that were good in him and the things you're thankful for. If you didn't have a good father figure, then perhaps you think about the things you wish you had had. All fathers should strive to be good fathers. But for Christian men, the goal should be higher than that, because Christian men should strive to be not only good fathers, but godly fathers. How would you describe a godly father? If I gave you a pop test here, how would you describe that? What characteristics do you think mark a man worthy of being called a godly father? As I began to pray and think about this morning's message, the person who came to my mind was Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father, the stepfather of Jesus. Joseph was an excellent example of a godly father. So now, men, this is the kind of man, as we look at these characteristics, this is the kind of man we should all strive to be. Whether we're fathers or not, this is the kind of man we ought to strive to be. Wives, this is the kind of man you should pray that God will make your husband into. No, don't go home and badger him and say, "Brother John said you ought to be." No, no, no. You pray and ask God to work in his life and God to make him a godly father, godly husband. And young ladies, this is the kind of man you should be looking for as a husband and future father for your children. Young men, this is the kind of man you need to strive to become. So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and we're going to discover several characteristics of a godly father. Matthew 1, 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." The thing that stands out to me out of that verse is that Joseph was an honorable man. Joseph was an honorable man. It says he was espoused to Mary, but it clearly says before they came together. Now, you need to understand the background. You need to understand a little bit about Jewish espousal practices. What happened in those days, man and woman would be legally bound together as if they were married. There was a legal contract. They waited 9 to 18 months while the husband prepared a home for the wife. And there was this waiting period before they actually had the wedding ceremony and began living together as husband and wife. And during that 9 to 18 months, there was virtually no contact between the man and the woman. There's a legal contract signed, no contact, but preparations before the actual wedding takes place. And so it clearly says here that Mary was espoused to Joseph, but this is before they came together. They were not together physically in any way. So God's plan is marriage before sex. That may be monumental to some, but that's God's plan and has been for 6,000 years. Often today, people put sex first and marriage comes later, if at all. And we sometimes equate Jewish espousal to engagement, but you can see the differences. And so often today, the term fiancé is not used to be someone you're intending to marry several months from now, but it refers to your live-in boyfriend or girlfriend. So that whole term has been cheapened. But Joseph was an honorable man. Joseph honored Mary. He protected her virginity. They were espoused. They were considered husband and wife. Matter of fact, in verse 19, it says, then Joseph, her husband. In verse 20, the angel says, don't fear to take Mary, thy wife. They were considered husband and wife, but there was this espousal period. They did not live together yet. They obeyed God's laws, and that's what Joseph did. Joseph obeyed God's laws. Joseph respected Mary and her parents. But sadly, many men today are not honorable. They only care about pleasing themselves. So the first thing we need to note is that Joseph was an honorable man. The next thing, next characteristic, is in verse 19, where it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a, what's the next word? Just man. So Joseph was a just man. Say, Brother John, what's the difference between honorable and just? Well, just refers to being righteous, being committed to doing what is right, being conscientious, being law-abiding. You know, sadly, many people today don't have any idea what's right and wrong. 50, 60 years ago, America threw God out of our schools and out of our courts. We threw the Bible out of our schools. We threw the Ten Commandments out because we didn't want to unduly influence people in what they considered the wrong way. And what do we have now? We have a nation of people that don't have any concept of right and wrong. That's why you have, it's not at all uncommon to look at the news on the TV or your phone or somewhere, and you hear where somebody went into some business or restaurant or something and just started shooting, or a shopping mall or something, and just indiscriminately killed people. Why? They have no sense of right and wrong. But Joseph was a just man. Many people today do what their sense of right and wrong is just whatever's good for them at the moment. Many men today are not just. They only want what's best for them. But Joseph was a just man. He was committed to doing right regardless of how that impacted him personally. So let's go back to verse 19 and take a look at that again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, quietly. Third thing I want you to notice is that Joseph was a compassionate man. Joseph was a compassionate man. He was not willing to make a public example of Mary. Now let's go back in time and think about, we're in the first century. Joseph and Mary are espoused. They have not yet live together as husband and wife. That's coming some months ahead yet. But Mary now is pregnant. She is expecting a baby. But they had not come together. So the obvious assumption was that Mary had been immoral and unfaithful to her commitment to Joseph. We know the fact that that wasn't the case. But that's all Joseph could know at the moment. Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. That was the penalty in ancient Israel for adultery. She could have been stoned to death. He could have had her publicly disgraced. You remember when during Jesus' ministry, when they brought the woman taken in adultery and they were about to stone her to death? That's what the law was. And Joseph could have had that done. He could have had her publicly disgraced and shamed. And of course, God's purpose in all of that was the public disgrace and shame would serve as a warning to others, don't let this happen to you. Don't get into the same situation. So he chose instead to divorce her quietly. She's carrying a child. He knows it's not his child. He's not going to marry her, so he's going to divorce her. That's what the Bible means when it says put away. He was going to put her away privately, quietly, and not cause a big fuss, cause a big stir, and cause further humiliation and shame. Many men today are not compassionate. Why? They're too self-centered to care about the feelings or the needs of others. But Joseph was a compassionate man. He did not want to shame Mary. He didn't want to disgrace her parents. He cared about Mary and her unfortunate situation. This was a terrible, unfortunate situation, best he understood it at the moment. The fourth thing we're going to see in verse 20 is that Joseph was a thoughtful man. Look at the beginning of verse 20. But while he thought on these things, Joseph was not rash. He wasn't hurried. He was reasonable and he was thoughtful. He learned that his intended, the woman he was espoused to, is pregnant, and he's thinking about the situation. He's rationally considering it. Hey, I imagine he's praying about it. But he considered the situation and weighed the consequences of his actions. But you know, today we live in an instant world, don't we? We live in an instant world. We want everything to happen now. If I want that thing, whatever it is, that car, that piece of clothing, you name it, get it now. Pay for it later. We want everything now. We want everything instant. And Joseph was a man who was careful and thoughtful. It could have something to do with the fact that he was a carpenter, you know, because as a carpenter, you don't, what's the rule for carpenters? You measure twice and cut once. You make sure you've done it right before you start making cuts. And as a carpenter, he would have had to weigh carefully. And let's face it, he didn't go down to the lumber yard and pick up so many two-by-fours. He had to get the wood and get it shaped properly and decide that this piece of wood would be good for this particular use. That piece would be good for that. Joseph was a thoughtful and careful man. But sadly, many men today, many fathers, don't think before they act. They just act and hope for the best. They don't think about the long-term consequences of their actions. And sadly, many Christians do the same thing. Now, God, I'm going to do this. Please bless what I'm going to do. As opposed to, God, what do you want me to do? That's a whole lot different. Making up your mind and asking God to bless it is not the same as seeking His guidance. But Joseph was a thoughtful man. He's thinking about the situation. He's thinking about the consequences. You know, back when Brother Wayne taught us men's fraternity, one of the key elements there was the godly man is looking for a reward, but he's looking for an eternal reward. He's not looking just to please himself right now. He's looking for the good of everyone involved. So Joseph was a thoughtful man. Number five, we see also in verse 20, is that Joseph was attentive to the word of God. Notice, let's go back and read verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him with a message. Joseph was attentive to that message, just as we as godly men and fathers and all Christians need to be attentive to the Word of God. We're familiar with this. We read this virtually every year at Christmas. The angel appeared to him and told him, don't be afraid to take Mary. The baby was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But do you realize this same thing happened to Joseph three more times? Four times in total, Joseph was spoken to. Look at verse, you probably got it right there handy, verse chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, what? The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's when Herod's wanting to kill all the baby boys. In verse 19 of chapter 2, they're in Egypt, but it says, but when Herod was dead, behold, what happened? An angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he's going to tell him there, verse 20, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And then again in verse 22, says, but when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the stead or in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So four times total, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. And every time, Joseph listened and to the message and took it to heart. You know, sadly, many men don't pay attention to the Word of God. And I can tell you part of the reason why. They don't read it. They don't go to church. They're attentive to sports. You talk to a man about whatever his favorite sport or hobby is, and he can tell you the statistics, the batting average, the roster, you name it. He can tell you all those things. He's attentive to those things, whether it be hunting or fishing or cars or you name it. Men are attentive to the things they are interested in. Sadly, for many men, that's not the Word of God. But Joseph was a man who was attentive to the Word of God. He wasn't busy sitting on his phone playing games or looking at social media. He was listening when the angel... Imagine that. He's laying there in bed at night, and an angel shows up, and he says, wait a minute, angel, I got to keep scrolling through this just a minute, and I'll get back to you. That'd been ridiculous, right? Joseph was attentive to God's message, and it came to him through an angel in a dream. Number six is also in verse 20 and continuing down through verse 23, and that sixth characteristic of a godly father is that Joseph believed the Lord. Notice what it said. I'm going to read verse 20 again and continue through verse 23. But while he thought on those things, remember, his espoused wife is pregnant and he's not the father. While he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So this angel appeared to Joseph, and we're looking at it 2,000 years later. We know how the story comes out. But imagine how that sounded to his first century Jewish ears. This was an unbelievable message. Mary's pregnant, and now this angel said, that's a miracle. The baby was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Mary is not immoral or unfaithful. Would you believe that? That's a stretch. But Joseph believed what the angel said. You don't find there that Joseph questioned or argued. Joseph didn't stop and say, what now? Are you serious? Prove it to me. I got to see it on paper. He didn't question. He didn't argue. He believed that the baby in Mary's womb was the miraculous Son of God who was coming through a virgin conception. Taking Mary, think about this, taking Mary as his wife implied to everyone in his community that he was the father. So he's got a reputation of being an honorable and just man, and he obeys the law of God. And now he's taking Mary as his wife, or the angel's telling him to take Mary as his wife. And that lets everybody know, you know, we were immoral before marriage, and I'm the blame. So he was a just and honorable man, but everyone would think he was immoral now. You know, many men don't believe the Lord. Joseph believed the Lord. Many men today follow the old, let your conscience be your guide. I think maybe Walt Disney came up with that, not the Word of God. But let your conscience be your guide only works if your conscience is in tune with the Word of God. Your conscience can be, the Bible says it can be seared over like with a hot iron. Your conscience can be skewed one way or another. Frankly, you can trust your mind and your thoughts, and your conscience can tell you to do something that could be different from what the Word of God says. Probably it's going to tell you to do something that's going to be good for you. So many men don't trust and believe the Bible. They trust their mind and their desires more than the Word of God. But a godly father will believe the Word of God, will believe and trust the Lord. Joseph believed and trusted the Lord. And then, you know, belief is one thing in the mind, but you got to put some legs to it. You got to take action. So the seventh thing I want you to notice is that Joseph obeyed the Lord. Joseph did as the angel told him. Look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 1. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did think about it a while. Does it say that? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, went down and asked some of his buddies what they thought. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, looked on the internet to see if he could learn something there. No, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, that's great. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. You remember in chapter 2, verse 13, the angel appeared to him and told him to get him and his wife and the baby out of Bethlehem and go to Egypt. Look at verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed into Egypt. Chapter 2, verse 21. When he was in Egypt and the angel said, Herod's dead, y'all can go back to Israel. Look at what it said, verse 21. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And verse 22 even, I already read that to you. It says toward the latter, about the latter third of that verse, it said he was warned in a dream and he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So what we find is that every time God tells him something to do, without fail, he does it. And it strikes me that he's warned of God in a dream, and he gets up first thing in the morning and says, okay, we're going. Mary, pack your stuff. We're leaving right now. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't question. He didn't delay. He just obeyed. You know, in the military and places like that, one of the things they got to do is train folks to obey orders. And they're not wanting to train them to question and delay and argue. They're wanting them to obey. Because if you get into a combat situation, they have to obey in order to do their mission and save their lives. Joseph didn't question. He didn't delay. He just obeyed. Four times the angel spoke to him in a dream at the night. And every single time, Joseph got up and immediately did exactly what the angel told him to do. He don't want you to think about many men today. They don't obey the Lord. They don't do that. They do what they want to do. Think about it. God tells them to repent and believe in Jesus. You know that's a command. That's a command. Repent and believe in Jesus. It's in the Bible. But they don't do that. God tells them to read the Bible and pray and come to church, but they don't do that. God tells them to bring tithes and offerings to the Lord, but they don't do that. You know, I'm thankful that we're raising money for this new building, but do you realize that if everyone who was genuinely saved gave tithes and offerings to the Lord, we'd have that taken care of in no time. Next week, we'd probably have it taken care of. I don't know. But God tells men to do that, but they don't do that. God tells men to love their wife like Christ loved the church, but they don't do that. But Joseph was a man who obeyed the Lord. So Joseph obeyed the Lord. Number eight, there are 10 of these, so we're getting close to the end. Number eight, Joseph protected his family. And men, it is your responsibility to protect your family. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, where it says, verse 14, he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Joseph didn't argue about that. He went on. He relocated his family to a whole different place. Chapter 22, verse 22, I've already read that twice for you. But let me read verse 23. And it says, he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, he shall be called a Nazarene. Just a little sidelight, not part of the message. But God had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, would come out of Egypt, and would grow up in Nazareth. And that's exactly what took place. Why? Because Joseph listened, and Joseph obeyed, and Joseph protected his family. Herod was out to kill Jesus, but Joseph did whatever was necessary to keep his young family safe. And frankly, he put his family's safety above his own. And he certainly put his family's safety above his own convenience. He could have said, you know, God, I got a good business going on at the carpenter shop. You want me to leave all that and go to Egypt where nobody knows me and I got to start all over again? He went and he did exactly what was done. So Joseph protected his family, but do you realize, sadly, many men today actually pose a danger to their family? They harm them and abuse them when they should be keeping them safe. They might abuse them verbally or emotionally or physically or sexually. But many men today pose a danger to the family when the father is the one who ought to be the most protective one in the family to take care of. You know, the family ought to be a place where the wife and children are safe because they've got a godly father looking out for them physically and spiritually and emotionally and financially. Joseph protected his family. Number 9, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I just want to tell you that number 9 is that Joseph was a faithful man. Luke chapter 2, I want to read verses 21 to 24 and then verse 41. Notice this. It says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, God had decreed that 8 days after the male baby was born, he was to be circumcised. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's what God commanded Joseph. And when the days of her purifications according to the law of Moses were accomplished, that's Mary's purification after giving birth, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Let me explain what this is all about. You remember we studied about the Passover not that long ago in our study of the book of Exodus. And you remember when God went through, the death angel went through Egypt and killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And the Jews who were obedient put the blood on the doorpost and God passed over their houses. And God said, you know, I have killed the firstborn of Egypt. And God said, now all the firstborn of Israel belong to me. Now, he didn't want to kill them or put them to death or anything like that, but he said, all the firstborn belong to me, and what you're to do when your firstborn comes along is you're to offer an offering, a sacrifice to redeem that firstborn. And that's exactly what he did. He offered that sacrifice to redeem his firstborn child, and the sacrifice they brought of 2 young pigeons, that indicates that they were a poor family because the law called for a larger sacrifice, but it said if you're poor and can't afford that, you can bring just the 2 birds. And look at verse 41 of that same chapter. Luke 2:41 says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Every year, faithfully, without fail, Joseph packed up his family and went to Jerusalem, a journey of about 60 miles from Nazareth for the Passover. God had decreed that all the men should appear 3 times a year before the Lord, and on the Passover every year, Joseph brought his family. And we picture Joseph and Mary and little boy Jesus. But remember, Jesus had, after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had several more children. So parents, you know what it's like to pack up all the kids and take them somewhere? Well, they got to not just pack them up and take them somewhere. They got to be prepared for a few days' journey by foot or with a donkey, 60 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem to take part in the Passover. So Joseph was faithful to that. He was faithful to do what the Old Testament commanded. You know, many men today aren't faithful. I submit to you that it's a whole lot easier to get in the car and drive to church in the air-conditioned car and get out of the car and walk into the building than it is to put out everything you need for however many weeks or whatever on a donkey and walk 60 miles. Amen? But men, are men taking their families to church? Sadly, we find across the nation, we have more women that attend church than men. That means there's men who are not bothering to get up and bring their family to take to church. They're not taking the initiative to bring their family to church. A lot of men are more faithful to sports, recreation, hobbies, and work than they are to the things of God. And dads, you are teaching your kids what is important by your actions. What you give yourself to, they believe is important because it is important to you. And so you can either teach them that the things of God are important, coming to church is important, praying, reading your Bible, or you can teach them that sports and recreation and hobbies are more important. So that's number 9. Joseph was a faithful man. Number 10, our last one here, is that Joseph taught his family. Joseph taught his family. And I want you to look in still in Luke 2 at two verses. It says in Luke 2, verse 40, and the child, that's talking about Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then verse 52, the last verse of that chapter, says, and Joseph increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Why do you think Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom? I'll tell you why. Because Joseph taught him. Joseph, a man of God, taught him the things of God. And Jesus grew up in that carpenter shop, growing in wisdom, growing in stature, growing in favor with God and man, and growing in the things of God. Let me give you an announcement here. Dads, moms, it is not the school's job to teach your kids about God. It is not, men, it's not your wife's job to teach the kids about God without your involvement. It's definitely her job under your leadership and with your involvement. And it's not even solely the church's job to teach your kids about God. You live like there's no God at home and come and drop them off at church one day a week, and we pray God will do something in them. We pray God will save them and change their heart. But you know, it's really your job to instill in them what's really important about the things of God. It's your job. Many men today don't teach their children about the things of God, sadly, because they don't know them themselves. But Joseph was a man who taught his family. Now, I want to review these and give you an opportunity to respond, and then we're through. We've discovered 10 characteristics of a godly father. And I struggled a little bit with the 10 because I kind of hated to make it sound like, well, here's 10 things. I didn't look for 10. They just kind of kept jumping out of the Bible at me, so we ended up with 10. I thought maybe I'll make it 9 or something, but it ended up being 10. But there's 10 things we learned about Joseph, and these are characteristics of a godly father. Joseph was an honorable man. A godly father is a man of honor. A godly father is a man who is just and does things right. A godly father is a man who is compassionate. A godly father is one who is thoughtful, not rash and compulsive. A godly father is a man who is attentive to the Word of God. A godly father believes the Lord. A godly father obeys the Lord. A godly father seeks to protect his family. A godly father is faithful to the things of God. And a godly father teaches his family. Men, how do you measure up? Are you striving to be a godly man and a godly father like Joseph? Or do you need to confess any shortcomings? We've all got shortcomings. None of us rate perfect 10 on the scale. We've all got shortcomings. Let me ask you, men, maybe it's time to be a little more assertive and take some initiative and step out and show the Lord and to show your church and to show your family that you want to be a godly father. Do you need to confess any shortcomings? Perhaps you need to come to the altar this morning, confess your shortcomings, and make a commitment to God and to your wife that with God's help, you'll be a godly father. You won't become a godly father. But wives, now you're not off the hook here either. Are you praying for your husband to become a godly father? Perhaps you need to come to the altar and commit to God to faithfully pray every day for your husband and then to commit to God to follow his leadership. Young ladies, are you praying that God will give you this kind of a godly man to be your husband and one day to be the father of your children? Perhaps, young ladies, you need to come to the altar and make a commitment to God that you will strive to be a godly young lady and only date young men who are striving to live up to those standards. And young men, perhaps you need to come to the altar and make a commitment to God that you'll strive to be a godly man right now so that one day you can be a godly husband and father. And older folks, not leaving you out, maybe you need to make a commitment to pray for those fathers in your life, whether they be sons or grandsons or whatever, and others, to be godly people. Folks, let's get serious about this. The altar is open. This is your opportunity to come and respond. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And if you need to respond in any fashion, I invite you to step out right now. Don't wait, but step out and come. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, accomplish your purpose. Help us, Lord, to be godly people, godly fathers, godly mothers, godly young people, and seek to live for you. Lord, I pray you'd work in somebody's heart today and make a change that's going to last for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.